Well, a blessing, Sister Bran. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today and sharing God's gifts that He has given you. Beautiful, 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 very inspiring. Thank you, Lord. What's our theme for the year? Come on. What's our theme for the year?
I serve.
Praise His holy name. I serve. And then our theme for the first quarter, the sub-theme for the first quarter, is shaped to serve. Say that.
Shaped to serve.
We get into the second quarter, it'll be born to serve. Third quarter, ready to serve. And the final quarter, risking to serve. Do you like that? Yes, yes. Let's pray. Guide me now, Lord, in this word. In Jesus' name, amen. In my first sermon of the year, first Sabbath of the year, first church, we learn that the first assignment to serve mankind was an assignment that Jesus gave to Himself. He assigned Himself to this planet as Savior. You should have said amen. Jesus assigned Himself. Revelation 13:8, Dr. Deshaies expresses it this way, said He's the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Isn't that something? In this assignment that Jesus gave Himself, He was born of a woman, born to be treated as a criminal, born poor, born to be powerless, except only as He relied on the Father. So in taking that assignment, He set an example for us as to how we are to be when we receive the assignment. Then in my second sermon, which I preached the second service of the first Sabbath of the year, we learn that when Jesus gave the assignment to us, it was given, we learned, to a very unworthy group. We're talking the disciples, remember? The disciples came to their final meeting with Christ just as unworthy as they could be. They were filled with doubt and they were filled with fear. They were filled with ignorance, even of the mission of Christ. And yet, to this disheveled group, Jesus said, go. Do you remember that sermon? Yeah, some of you do. Hey, humor me. Act like you remember the sermon. Yeah, I preached it right here. Somebody help me out. And we saw God, watch it, because that second sermon was important. We saw God use the act of going as a means of preparing them for salvation. And so one of the things we're establishing in this year is that it is through ministry that we grow in Christ. Is that all right? It's the sitting member who can't grow. But the going member grows. The very going grows a disciple. I'll say amen. I think that's good. Now, in the process of dealing with this, we talked about four legs. Did we get those for me, brethren? Four legs. I love them. Four legs. Four legs of the Christian life. Can you see it? What are they? Prayer. Come on. Worship and... Four legs. And we made the observation that the broken leg is which one? Yeah, that fourth one. We're leaning over on one side, praying ourselves. Oh, we pray, 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 saints, we pray. Read the Bible, or some of us read the Bible through every year. No more texting Moses. And we worship. Look at us, look at us. Yeah, we come. We love to worship. Singing and clapping hands and praise. We love it. But what we've not understood is that those first three, watch me, the first three should lead to the fourth one. Do you see it? If you're praying, if you're studying, if you're worshiping, those three should build a life that's got to do something for God. Amen. Now, last week, Pastor Taylor, bless his heart, he talked about, I love his preaching, simple stuff. And Pastor Taylor said that the reason we serve is simply to respond to what God did for us. So if you aren't doing anything, you're saying Christ didn't do anything. If you're wrapped up, caught up, thankful for what Jesus has done for you, it moves you to do something for him. Can I get a witness in this place? Taylor made that thing clear. And then bless your soul, Warfield had the nerve to get up after him, the second service last week. And Warfield just turned the pastor on. He took that word, I need shape up there now, brother. I love these brethren up there. Praise God. Warfield took this word shape, broke it down for us. The S stands for what? Spiritual gifts. These qualities of being that the Spirit drops on you when you accept Jesus. Kindness, helps, faith, gifts of the Spirit. H stands for what? Warfield said, you got to want to do, you got to be excited. This is the reason why we're offering these various courses, because we don't want you to just sign up for some ministry because the pastor is beating you on the head with the Bible. We want you to sign up for a ministry because you got a burden for it. What do you say? You like passing out tracts. You like going to the soup kitchen. You like doing this. You like it. And so we won't have to call you because you'll be telling us, when can I get started? So Warfield talked about passion. You need to have a passion for it. And then he said A stands for what? These are things you're born with. See, the spiritual gifts when you're born again. Abilities when you're born. Some people have the ability to draw. Some have the ability to sing. Some have the ability to build. He said we must give these to God. We must use our abilities. And then we found out that the P stands for what? Personality. I'm going to talk about that a bit more today. But you've heard, you know, we've got these four types. We've got the cholerics, the people that want to run everything. Yeah, they're sitting right here in TPC right now. Yeah, I want to run everything. Yeah, and then we have the melancholics. Yeah, melancholics. These are people that analyze everything. Yeah, we like his preaching, but ain't got enough points in it. Yeah. He's all right, but we need to break that thing down clear. Analyze everything. We like the praise team, but they're not quite, the songs don't move when running. They can't hardly worship because they're analyzing everything. Melancholics. Then you have the sanguines. They're just happy about life. When the pastor stands up, they say, amen. Ain't said nothing yet. Amen. Praise God. Brother hadn't read a text yet. Happy people. We love God. Listen, we love them. You can't have church without sanguines. They're the ones who get happy. Yeah, praise God. And then we have the phlegmatics, cool, calm, and collected. Yeah. They're not going to step up front. These people are excellent behind the scenes. So we have these four types, these four personality types in the church. But the thing is, as we're going to learn today, they're in the church for a purpose that you haven't thought about. Don't say amen yet because you don't know where I'm going. You ain't got it yet. They're in the church for a purpose, but I ain't told you yet. So ain't nothing to say amen about yet. And it's a purpose you have not thought about. It's a purpose you've not thought about. That's the meat of today's sermon. And then, Warfield said the E stands for what? Yeah, we bring that. We've had various exposures to things in life. That's why God has so many different ones of us in this church, because it's our various experiences too that allow the church to be strong. Some have walked a hard path. Some have walked an easy path. Some have climbed mountains. Some have gone through valleys. Some have gone through pain and sickness. And these various experiences shape us. Ah. But Warfield didn't give us the D. I messed with you, Warfield. Yeah. You got shape. But the theme, sub-theme is shaped, shaped. So I added a D. And the D stands for what? And that's where I'm going today. That's where I'm going today. Designed opportunities. Now listen to me. Listen to me. When Jesus brought you into the church, he knew you would need to be developed. And so Cheryl Brody, what he does, he works on your life. Listen to me now, carefully. He works on your life to bring you to the point where you're just exactly the way he wants you to be. And he does this by giving you opportunities shaped just for you. And I want you to see that clearly in today's sermon. I want to focus on the book of Luke, 10th chapter, Luke 10. Luke, the 10th chapter. Keep in mind that Luke is that gospel written by a Gentile. And one of Luke's concern in his gospel is to teach us, to remind us, that Jesus is the Savior of all. Being a Gentile, he had experienced the cold shoulder of the Jewish culture, the one-upsmanship, that we are the ones, the Jew, we are the ones who've been given the oracles of God. We are the chosen people. And so Luke was very sensitive to those aspects of Christ's teaching where Jesus emphasized that the door is open to all. So Luke presents an historical and theological statement about Jesus to a community that worshiped many gods. He writes it to Theophilus. Some feel it was a symbolic name. Others feel he was a real person. And Luke wanted the Gentiles to know that Jesus was not just a son of Abraham, he was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. And Luke wanted all Gentiles to know that Jesus didn't play favorites. The salvation that God provided through Christ was not based so much on bloodlines, but on spiritual connection with God. For the next three sermons, my sermon today, my sermon next Sabbath morning, and my sermon for second service on the following Sabbath after that, I'm going to look at three sections of Luke 10. The first section today, second section next Sabbath morning for First Church, and the third section in the sermon following that. There are two different passages. Now, some of you, I've been with you long enough to know that I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. There are two different passages in the Bible that highlight Jesus sending his people out. They are Matthew 10 and Luke 10. What did I say? Luke 10 focuses on Jesus sending out the 12. But Luke 10, Matthew 10 focuses on Jesus sending out the 12. But Luke 10 focuses on Jesus sending out the 70. Look at Luke 10, verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70. That is, 70 other people aside from the 12. And sent them how? Talk to me. Sent them how? Before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. So he's sending out these 70. Here's a comment from the commentary. The fact that the 70 were sent to certain selected localities means that Jesus had budgeted his time, had determined in advance exactly where he would go the months that remained. The fact that the 70 were first sent to the villages of Samaria. Where were they sent? Where were they sent? Now, when Jesus sent out the 12 in Matthew 10, he told them, don't go any place but to the house of Israel. Now, watch. The 12 to the house of Israel. The 70 to Samaria. In both cases, the church is sent, first of all, to those closest around them. The title of my sermon is Practice. See, before Joy, God's going to trust us out there in the streets of Tacoma Park. We got to learn to treat each other right in these pews. Practice. Amen. He sends the disciples out. He says, I don't want you to go in it. Just go to the saints in the church, the house of Israel. We have to learn to be kind to one another. What's with this going out to the soup kitchen and you got church members who are hungry? Huh? Come on now. What's with us going out to the streets and hugging folk and being nice and so forth, and you got people in the pews you do not speak to? What's this going out to people in the streets and showing the love of God and telling them about how God forgives and he's merciful, and we have not forgiven one another? We got things we've held against somebody in the church for years, and every time their name comes up, we get all tight. How are you going to go out there when you've not settled it in here? Practice. That's why you have sanguines in the church. So you can practice. See, for us melancholics, I'm a melancholic. See, cross-brainers, the sanguine exactly cross from the melancholic. So it goes up like this. Sanguines are irritated by melancholics. Melancholics are irritated by sanguines. Now keep your eyes straight. Y'all looking around at people. Keep your eyes straight. You get discerned for yourself. Don't be looking at folk and hunching and doing this. For the melancholic, see, we like order, system, pattern. Sanguines are all over the place. They don't want no schedule. Oh, let's just sing till we get tired. No, sing and shut up, sit down. Let's have some sermon in here. That's the melancholic talking. So God put the sanguines in the church so that I can learn to love these people. Practice. Practice. Phlegmatics, cross-brainers, phlegmatics, clerics, can't stand each other. Because phlegmatics are laid back. They don't want to be up front. Choleric wants to boss everything. And so the choleric is always trying to get the folk to, you know, do. Come on, let's go. Let's get to take charge. Cholerics take charge when there's nothing to be in charge of. And the flags are just trying to, you know, let's don't make issues. The flags don't want no issues, no issues. We don't want no issues, we want problems. Let's just be quiet about it. Are you listening to me? So God brings these various folk into the church, puts them in the pew right beside you. Isn't that something? Let's give God a hand. He's a smart God, smart God. Puts them right in the hand, right beside you. You cannot escape them. They're on the same committee you're on. Singing the choir right with you. Practice. He said to the apostles, go to the house of Israel. Go to your neighbors, your friends, your husbands, your wives, your children, your cousins. The reason why, Pastor Warfield, the Lord has given us so many different people to pastor, different types, is to grow us as pastors. Yes. I can't play favorites. I may have to pray for more when I'm dealing with one group than another. You don't know I'm praying more for you, but I have to pray more. But how are we going to go into the city to those outside when there is no love inside, no patience inside? Somebody say amen out there. No patience inside, no understanding inside. We're all not alike. God intended it that way. Let's stop trying to mold everybody into our mold and accept people as Christ has accepted us. Practice. See, now you can say amen. See, the sermon's about, now you can say amen now. Amen. Yeah. I read from Desire of Ages, the directions of the 70 were similar to those given to the 12, but the command to the 12 not to enter into the cities of the Gentiles, but of Samaritans, was not given to the 70. Though Christ had been repulsed by the Samaritans, his love for them was unchanged. Now listen to that. The Samaritans treated Christ terribly. See, let me ask you a question. See, how well do you do with people in this congregation who have treated you bad? Now, folks, let's don't pretend. There are people, and I feel sorry for you, there are people who come to church every Sabbath still talking about something that happened Lord knows when. Lord knows when. I remember pastoring a brother. He's not in this church. He wasn't at CPC. But many years ago, I pastored a brother. And he was an elder in the church. And we were talking one day. And he began to tell me about this situation that had occurred. I don't know what's going on with this thing. If it's this thing, I'm going to take it off. Turn this off. Turn this off. I was talking to this brother, and he was just going on and on and on, talking about what had happened, so forth, and he got all worked up, veins in his neck popping out, face got all intense and so forth. So I'm thinking it happened last week. That's my mistake. So finally, he calmed down. I said, well, look, we need to go visit. We need to see this person was dead. We need to go see some. Is anybody listening to the pastor today? Isn't that foolish? Somebody say that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And the energy, that it takes to hold on to that. Why would you give somebody such control over your spiritual life that when they walk in the room, you get mad? Come on, somebody. You ought not want anybody to have that kind of control over you. You want Christ to control you. You want to be able to handle and overlook and in some cases ignore the faults and failings of others, because we are all in the church growing together. That's why the church is the place where we practice. What do we do here? Say it again. What do we do here? Every Sabbath we practice. Every time we have a board meeting, we practice. Every time we're on a committee together, we practice. Every time we have choir rehearsal, we practice. Every time we're practicing being the kind of people that God can trust out yonder. So the house of Israel represents the family. You remember when Paul was writing to the church about the elders, he said that they should be, first of all, rulers of their own house. That word ruler there is really a word of service. And he said to the deacons in 1 Timothy 3:12, they should be rulers of their own house. Or as, see, real ministry starts at home. Don't be coming in this church now, hugging and slapping backs, kind to everybody, and you're not speaking to your spouse. Just take that stuff on home. No, I'm serious, folk. Your children see that kind of hypocrisy. Here you, Mr. Popular at TPC, and your children know that you don't even speak to your spouse. They see you come to church and you're hugging and slapping backs and And we, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to be real. Real. So he gives us our families that we might practice. He gives us our families that we might practice. Because some of us have some very odd relatives, don't we? Now, they're not here today, so say amen real loud. Don't say amen. Yeah. But this is folk, being a Christian is not theoretical. It's a real thing. Smiling through tears, saying I'm sorry, keeping your mouth shut. If you hear the pastor, raise your hand. If you hear what I'm saying, just raise your hand. Yes. And so, in 1 John 3, look at this. See, John was not joking. 1 John 3, here's what he says. 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he goes on to explain, he's talking about having a loving spirit. Look at verse 17 of John, 1 John 3. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his words of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We first of all must be sure we're meeting the needs of those in this church. Before we start trying to meet the needs of those outside. Look at 1 John 4 and verse 7 and 8. We know this so well. Beloved, let us love one another. Do what? See, it's so basic. We always say amen to this stuff. Do you know that there are people that the Lord got to join Tacoma Park Church just for you? They're mean ones. Just for you. Yeah. Some of the most difficult people in this church were brought in church just for you. That person that stands next to you in church every Sabbath can't hit a note with a hammer. And they sing loud in your ear. You can't hear Admiral Otley. You can't hear nobody. Here they are. Always just off tune, and they know the verse of every song, and they find where you sit every Sabbath. Come on, somebody, this thing is real. People that make plans, the church is full of folks who make plans, never show up, full of ideas, ain't organized. The church ought to do so and so and so and so. Church is doing it, you can't find them. All these different types are brought in the church just for who? Say me. Yeah. Look at verse 10, 1 John 4. Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, watch it now, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. We know these verses. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. They were sent to the house of Israel. They were sent to the Samaritans. The Samaritans represent difficult people. Difficult people. And talking about this, Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 says, let there be no divisions amongst us. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, he names a whole list of all kinds of people. Go there real quick. 1 Timothy 3. This is quite a text. And we usually think of this text as talking about the world. It's actually talking about the church if you read it in context. Did I say 1 Timothy? I mean 2 Timothy 3. Look at this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now read the list with me. Come on. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own self? Church folk. Covetous? Church folk. Boasters? Church folk. Proud? Church people. Blasphemers? On and on and on. The church is where we... Some of you are listening. The church is where we... Say it again. The church is where we... Practice. See, today, when service is over, practice. Don't just hobnob with your buddies and pals. Go over to that person you don't know. Speak to him. Introduce yourself. Practice. Because if we're going to go out on the streets and meet people we don't know, and we got folk in the church we don't know, come on, y'all. We got to do what? Oh, somebody's listening. Say it again. What we got to do? Practice. She walks in church. She's got on that strange hat. You got to practice today not talking about that hat. James 1 and verse 8 says, beware the double-minded. They're also in the church. So how are we to accomplish this? How are we to accomplish this? And what are the benefits of doing so? And we'll shut up and sit down. How are we to do this? Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of what? Oh, boy. You know, folk, the thing that thrills me, all you precious folks sitting in the balcony, here's what thrills me. God never gets tired of working on Henry Wright. You ought to say amen. He just keeps working, Ken, and working and working and pressing and shaping, because he knows I'm not yet what I need to be. But the thing that sometimes I fail to remember, he uses people. You know, the biggest problem on the planet is people. Wait a minute now, you remove the people, we ain't got no problems. I just get rid of the people. But it's people. And so if we're going to have the divine nature, how does this happen? Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? And to virtue what? And to knowledge what? And to temperance what, church? And to patience? And to godliness? And to brotherly kindness? The word charity is the word for? We have to grow into what I'm preaching today. So don't be discouraged. If you're not there yet, don't be discouraged. God is growing you. But he's going to continue to grow you by adding people that test you. You see, Sanjay Thomas, when this church goes out into the street some Sabbath, we're going to do that. We want to go out ready for whatever the devil sends our way. What do you say? We want to have the self-possession. We want to have the clarity of mind. We want to have the confidence of being. We want to have the vision of God's grace that allows us to deal with anybody exactly the way Christ would have us to deal. And to get us there, God says, I'm going to keep filling the pews of the church with people. House of Israel, Samaritans, all kinds of people in the church. That we might Yes, I love it. I love it. We might practice. So how do we accomplish this? We must allow the Spirit to grow us. What are the benefits? Let's get our closing text. What are the benefits? Oh, man. John 17. This is just so precious to me. John 7. What's going to be the blessing for us? John 17, starting in verse 21. My. Here Jesus is praying his last prayer for the church. He's just a few hours from being crucified. And he's praying for his disciples. This prayer, it is believed, was prayed at the Last Supper. He's pouring out his heart to his Father. Verse 21. That they all may be what, church? All may be what? It's a powerful word. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I'm excited. Now I see it. Now I see the plan. Now I see why we must practice. God is saying, I'm going to send some people to you. I'm going to expose you to some people outside the church. But when they are exposed, when they find you, I want you to be a living witness that there's a God. How? Because you're one. In this world of division and race and culture and language and financial status, if they can just come to Tacoma Park Church, if they can just get in those pews and find all these people from there. I talked to a person today, said, I want to become a part of Tacoma Park Church because of the diversity. You have all kinds of people. But when they come, they've got to see us all kinds of people getting along. We're to be proof that the love of God works. Sanguines can get along with melancholics, and phlegmatics can get along with cholerics. That white can get along with black, and old can get along with young, and the new Adventist can get along with the long-time traditional Adventist. The Lord says, I want you to reach the point where whoever comes in this church feels a heartbeat of love and togetherness, and they say, that's what I've been looking for all my life. It's over there on Eastern Avenue. That big church there, go there. They'll just love you to death. Amen. He keeps on praying. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, in them. Read it with me, folk. And thou in me. Read it. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent them and done what? Kadeen, there are people in our neighborhood who've never felt love. They don't know what love is. We have young people who have no idea, Sister Dowdy, what love is. But the Lord says, I'm going to bring them to TPC. And they're going to experience for the first time genuine acceptance, not judgment now. And remember the folk that he's going to send to us. Some will have smoke on their breath. Some will have liquor on their breath. Some will be using marijuana. Ain't nobody saying amen. Some will have jewelry from the top of their head all down to the bottom of their feet. In their nose, in their ears. He's going to put them in these pews. Can you handle it? Can you be non-judgmental? Can you not consign them to hell? Can you keep your mouth shut about the jewelry and let them worship? Let the Holy Ghost do its work. Can you remember that nobody in the church is perfect yet? So how are you going to talk about somebody because of what they're wearing? The worst problems in the church are not what people wear, but how they are. Now some Pharisees upset with me right now, real upset. He just told them they could wear jewelry. I ain't told them nothing. I just told you to keep your mouth shut. That's all I told you. Let God do his work. Why? Because there are people who need to know that love comes first, doctrine comes second. Show people that you care. Show people that you understand. Show people you can wrap your arms around them. I don't care how they dress, what they look like. Show people that they are valuable. God says if you do that, you'll be proof there's a God in heaven who looks past the sin and loves the sinner. So the church is the place where we... Come on, talk to me. The church is the place where we... practice. Lord have mercy. It's the place where we practice. I'm playing my song, Love of God. Nobody's gonna play it. I said, sorry, brother. Fine. Practice. Nadra, I believe we can do it. This church can do it. I've come to love you. There's a lot of caring in this church. As different members have fallen down, I've seen you pick them up. I've seen this church rally behind folk who've lost loved ones. I've seen this church stand beside those who have got illness. I've seen this church reach out to the young. I've seen this church visit. Oh, we got the stuff in these pews. We can do this. We can practice. But we can't limit our practice. Listen to me now. Elder Ortega, we can't limit our practice to just the situations where we are comfortable. Did you hear what I just said? We have to move out of the shell. Have to move out of the shell. I'm switching, gentlemen. God needs you. We're all he's got. We're all he's got. We're all that he's got. I think about that and it scares me. As pitiful as I am, and I'm all God's got. But he believes, my friend, that I have come to the point in my life where I value his love for me. See, God has loved me through every bad thing in me. Can I get a witness? And God just believes that because I've come to accept that, it will move me outside myself. And I will want somebody to experience what I have experienced. Oh, you sang for me today. And so God says, because of what I've done for Henry Wright, I think I can trust him now. To stop being so self-centered, to stop being so self-protective, to open himself, O'Neill, even to be hurt, that he might touch others. Folk, there are people who come to this church every Sabbath. They don't yet feel comfortable. They don't yet feel sure. We must spread the love. Don't take for granted when a person walks by you, they don't need a hug. Reach out to them. Tell me you're glad to see him. Mean it. Mean it. Because it's in the church. And we must practice. Wow. Simple sermon, Warfield. But I think they got it. I think they got it. Bow your heads. Listen.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. star.
Thank you, Jesus.
The highest star, and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son.
Thank you, Jesus, for the son. First appeal. You want to respond today to the love of God. The first appeal today is strictly for that person who wants to join the church today, wants to come forward for baptism, come forward for Bible study. You say, I like what I'm hearing here. I want to be a part of this. And I've been wavering, been on the edge. Maybe you're a young person that's grown up in this church. You've never walked down this aisle. Or you've been visiting. You've been taking studies someplace. And you'd like to cross over the line and begin to practice what God is teaching you. Be a true Sabbath keeper. Be a lover of Jesus. To treat your body as the temple of God. You want to be a part of this. Today, you're going to rise up. It takes a lot of courage, a great big church, great big sanctuary. You're going to rise up, and you're going to come down front. I'm going to give you a chance to do that while Brother Court sings the second verse. Church, you're praying. I don't want anybody looking around. What you're praying. Pray that if that person is here, they'll come.
Every man, a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the love of God.
God bless you. God bless you. Just have a seat.
How rich and pure, how measureless and strong.
God bless you. God bless you. Just
it bless shall you. Forevermore
purposely not going to make a general appeal today. You heard the message. You know what the pastor's talking about. We have each other to practice the principles of Christianity. What do you say, church? And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about this sermon. We have each other that we might practice the principles of Christianity. Do that. Don't fail God. There's another person coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just sit right here. The clerk will serve you. So let's do it. We don't need to have everybody stand up and raise their hand. Let's just do it. Let's just do it, folk. Let's practice being Christians to one another. Another person coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a seat right here. I love to see the Spirit do its work. It's not about Henry Wright or Fred Warfield or whoever. It's about the Holy Spirit. Let's practice. Starting today, let's practice. Now I want to pray for you. Bow your head. Thank you, Lord, for those who've come. Mercy upon those who should have and didn't. But Jesus, may this church be a cauldron of the practice of the principles of Christianity. You said to the disciples, go to your own folk first. Learn how to deal with them. You said to the 70, go to the Samaritans, the difficult people. Learn how to deal with them. Do that first. Then go ye into all the world. That's all this sermon has said today. Help us to that end. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. God bless you.